Are we all ready? This week's Parsha is Parshas Chaye Sara. The Pasuk starts off the following, Vayu Chaye Sara, Mea Shana V'Ashrim Shana V'Shava Shana V'Shnei Chaye Sara. Sara's life was 127 years. Now, Rabbi Kiva saw that there were a bunch of his Talmidim sitting in a shir. They were dozing off. He was giving a shir and they were dozing off. They were like doing the head thing. You know, the head bobbing thing? Everybody... They were doing that. So he said out loud, he said, why was Esther Zocha to be a queen over 127 different countries? Because Sarah lived for 127 years. And that was supposed to wake them up. So what exactly happened? Like, all the people started waking up. Like, what in the world is going on? What's Rabbi Kiva talking about? He's getting onto a Gadita. Finally! He's getting onto a Gadita. Like, he keeps talking about Taurus. Finally, he brings up a Gadita. What is the shot behind that? So I have two answers for you. One is awesome. One is 30 times better. The one is awesome. One is 30 times better. I'm not going to tell you which one is which, but the Chassam Sofer says the following. Sometimes when a Navi gets to an extremely high level, a very, very high level, it's impossible for him to bring himself back down. Right? It's impossible. He just can't do it. He automatically dies. Because when he got to that high level, he wasn't able to pull himself back into this world. He didn't want to bring himself back into the Tumah. He brought himself so high up there, he didn't want to come back down. I'll give you an example. This is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard before in my life. Reb Naftali Cohen Katz, he was the author of Smichas Chachamim. He one time was he was a tremendous Rebbe. There was an aguna in his town, a woman whose husband ran away from her. And the husband hadn't been seen for years, for momish years. And they didn't know what to do. They said, okay, what are we supposed to do? The guy ran away. How are we going to get him back? We don't know what to do. They were all going crazy. So they went to Reb Naftali Cohen Katz. He said the following, after he begged and begged and begged, he finally said, okay, fine, I'll see what I can do. He told his Talmidim to all come inside the room. They locked the door, and he said to them, listen, I'm going to appear as if I fell asleep. You're going to see my face change. As soon as you see my face change from what it is, immediately wake me up. I'm going to wake up for a little bit, but I'm not going to be fully here. I'm going to fall back asleep. You're going to see my face change again. When you see my face change a second time, it's going to be worse than the first time. Wake me up again. It's going to happen a third time. I'm going to fall right back asleep. My face is going to change a third time. It's not going to look normal. You have to wake me up immediately. If you don't wake me up, I'll be gone. I'll be dead. So everybody said, what in the world is going on? So Reb Naftali Cohen Katz all of a sudden just put himself, like, just sat back in his chair and put himself completely to sleep. After a couple minutes, his face started to change. It would turn redder and redder and redder. All of a sudden, the Talmid said, Rebbe, wake up! Rebbe, wake up! They, like, screamed it out loud, and he immediately woke up. But he was seeing without really seeing. He was there, but not really there. And then all of a sudden, he went back asleep. This time, his face changed a little bit. And it didn't look like a normal face. It looked different somehow. So they yelled out, Rebbe, wake up! Rebbe, wake up! This time, it didn't help. So they took his arm and went like that. They pushed the arm a little bit. All of a sudden, he woke up. Third time, he goes, he's not even there. He totally loses everything. Immediately falls right back asleep. This time, his entire face changed completely to not being a human face anymore. They couldn't tell exactly what it. They didn't have. They had no idea what it looked like. They couldn't tell at all. But it wasn't a human face. They started screaming at him. He didn't wake up. They started holding his arm. He wouldn't wake up. They took a thing of water, splashed him. He woke up. He woke up and he said, "I found him." So he said, "I need you guys. Get three dayanim. Get the woman. Get the woman's father. Get all these people ready right now. Go straight to this town. Go straight to this inn. Go straight to the bar in the inn. There you'll find the husband." So they quickly, like, ran and got everybody together. They ran outside as quickly as they could. They got the dayanim. They got this guy, that guy, whatever it is. Everybody all ran to go to the inn. They all ran to that inn. They got to the inn, on the, you know, whenever they could. And all of a sudden they look around and the woman says, "There he is." And they point. She points down at a table. There were three soldiers laughing together. Three soldiers, high-ranking soldiers, were laughing together. One in the middle and the two on the side. The one in the middle, she said, "That's my ex-husband. That's exactly who he is." So they go up to him and they start. And as they're going up to him, the guy turns to his two comrades, you know, the two guys next to him, and says, "See that woman over there? That's the woman I ditched when I was a younger man, when I was a Jewish man." So everybody started saying to him, "Come on, give your wife a get. Don't let her be in a gunna." He said, "I refuse to. I've always hated my wife. I've never liked her. I never wanted to do anything for her. I never want to give her a get. I want her to remain in a gunna for the rest of her life because I hate her so much." So the people start begging him. So he said, "No, I refuse to." So they said, "Let's let's go send a letter to the general of, you know, that's in charge of this guy, so that the general will convince him to do it. So they send a letter over to the general. The letter gets back, you know, they send a messenger as quickly as they can. The messenger comes back whenever it is, I don't know, a day later. The messenger comes back and they show him the letter, and the general said, you must divorce your wife. Give your wife a divorce. According to the halacha of the Jews, according to the law of the Jews. So he looked at the letter and said, bah, I don't have to listen to him, and tore up the letter, right? So they said, you're not going to listen to your own general? He said, even if the king himself would tell me to divorce my wife, I wouldn't do it because I hate her so much. The two soldiers sitting at the side looked at him and said, did you just say something disparaging about the king? They both took out their swords at the exact same time, sliced off his head, turned to the Jews and said, you don't need to get anymore. You don't need to get anymore. They came back from Naphtali HaKohen Katz. They went back to him. They said to him, What happened? He said, what happened was, her husband has been dead for many, many years. He's been dead for many, many years. I had to go down to the depths of Gehenna to bring him back to life, to bring him back on earth, to be able to show everybody that he really did die. So what I had to do is bring him back to life. The two soldiers that you saw on the side were Malachei Mashkes, were really angels of death. And when he said the king, he meant Hashem. When the Malachei Mashkes heard that, they immediately cut off his head and wouldn't let it happen. They said, fine, but what was happening when you were going down there? He said, when I was going down there, I was going up to each level of Gehenna. Apparently there are three levels of Gehenna that he went to in order to get to that guy. The first level was easy enough. I wasn't able to be, you know, I didn't want to die after going to the second level, whatever. Third level was too much for me, and I wanted to stay in Shemayim, meaning to get myself as far away from that as possible, so I wouldn't have to return to the physical. I wouldn't have to worry about those things whatsoever. And because you guys woke me up, I had to come back to the physical. That's the idea of bringing yourself out, that once something crazy happens, you're just not a Navi. A tremendous Navi can't bring himself out of that. Can't bring themselves out of that. What? About 300 years ago. About 300 years ago. Is that a crazy story? Anyway, but Avram said, the difference is, sometimes Nevi'im get on that point, but Avram Avinu said, Vinashuva, we will return. When he said that word Vinashuva, it had to be that him and Yitzchak would not die or stay dead, that they were going to have to come back and they would return. The problem is, Sari Menu, who was at her house, had another type of an Akedah, very similar to Yitzchak and Avram. She had a Nisayon of her own with the Satan. And for that, she tried to bring herself completely away from the Satan. She was Davuk and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tremendously. She was such a Navi, higher than the level of Avram and Yitzchak, and she didn't say the word that I'm going to return. Because of that, she couldn't come back down. She got so high up to such a level, she wasn't able to return to the physical. And Sari Menu died, and that's how Sari Menu died at that time. Such a high level came from the Simcha that Sarah had, that Avram and Yitzchak were willing to do such a mitzvah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Simcha for mitzvos is what keeps people on that high level. That's also what keeps away a Malik. You're able to destroy a Malik. I'm sorry?
How do you see that from the story?
Oh, it's all from the Chassam Sofer. Oh, from the story itself? From the story with that? No, the story was just to tell you that you get a high level or whatever. Yeah, but there's from the Chassam Sofer himself. The Chassam Sofer says that what happens over here is that you get to such a high level because of Simcha, there's no way you can bring yourself back down. That's what defeats a Malik. A Malik is all about boredom. It's all about just, you don't want to do something or whatever it is. Just don't worry about it. It's all fine and everything will be okay in the end and something like that. Simcha is what takes you out of that. Sari Menu was able to pull himself out from that, and thus her schus was able to defeat Amalek. That was given over to Esther, that Esther looked at everything with the same type of Simcha that Sari Menu did, and thus she was able to defeat Amalek. So you know why Esther was zocha to be able to be queen over 127 Medinos? She had the same Simcha as Sarah during her 127 years. That's the first answer. Now you can decide whether that's awesome or this is 30 times better. Number two, Revolson. Revolson says, we all know that at the age of 20, Sari Menu looked like she was 7, right? She had the beauty of a 7-year-old even at 20. Why'd she have such an ace? Why'd she have such an ace? And who cares about beauty? We all know. Very good, very good. I'd bet today that I would be able to make somebody sing in the middle of Shir. Good. Your outer levush, the outer levush of a person represents your neshama. That means that the more beautiful you are on the outside, that means the more beautiful your neshama is on the inside. It's more beautiful from the inside. The problem with that is that there are very, very beautiful guys. They're very beautiful Rishayim. Do those people have a very, very high neshama? What's up with those? What about Vashti? Vashti was known as an extremely beautiful person. She's quoted in the Chumash and then the Megillah as being a very beautiful person. There are two types of beauty.
You're necessarily good.
Ms. Stummel. But well, there are two types of beauty. This is a real beauty. It's a beauty of Kedusha. Beauty of Kedusha that stems from the neshama. People aren't nichshol in that beauty. It's a beauty that people look at and say, "It's that guy's beautiful, or that woman is beautiful." Not necessarily beautiful because of how they look, although that definitely does play a part in it. You wouldn't say it about an ugly person, but you see that person, you say, that person is absolutely beautiful. You could say, as you were saying before, Jacob, like Rav Moshe Feinstein was a beautiful person. Not necessarily that he's a beautiful person, but he had a radiance to him. There was like a shine that came to him. People say the same thing about certain other Rabbanim, great Rabbanim, that they have a shine to them. That's the Yofi of Kedusha that stems from the Neshama. But there's also Yofi that comes from Chemda, from desire. And that's what Vashti had, and that's what all these Rishayim had. That comes from the Yetzirah. That's not Emes. It's not Emesic of beauty. It's like vampires. Vampires are supposed to dress up in the bodies of beautiful women, but deep down inside they're withered old hags. You know how that's supposed to be, that they're withered old hags on the inside, but on the outside they project a beauty that's out there, and then it's supposed to be that sort of a thing, and that they have it there. Don't worry. It's just what's known about a vampire. It's Achiza Senayim. It's regular magic. On the outside they look beautiful, but on the inside their neshamas are absolutely disgusting. That's the Yofi, that's Sheker Achein, the Haval Yofi. That rots over time. That type of beauty is going to rot over time. Eventually it's going to become nothing, it's going to become dust, and it's going to be disgusting. While the Yofi of Kedusha grows and grows and grows, or at least remains stagnant. It remains status quo the entire time. Sari Menu, Ava was able to have the beauty of a 7-year-old even when she was much, much older. Esther was able to have that Chut Shel Chesed that came from her, even though she was 74, 75 years old when she went to meet Achashverosh. She was extremely old, but she still had that Chut Shel Chesed that people looked at her and said, wow, that is a beauty that I want to be with. That's the type of Yofi of Kedusha that she had. And just like Sari Menu had that beauty, so too Esther had that beauty. Through that schus, she was able to become queen of over 127 Medinos. Brackets. Why did Paro and Avimelech want Rivka and Sarah? If they didn't have the beauty of Kedusha, they didn't have a beauty that was good for them. They didn't have a tremendous beauty, they had a beauty of Kedusha. Says Rav Wolfson, it's not real Yofi for them, that's true, but they also desire Kedusha. They saw the Kedusha in them, and somehow they desired that Kedusha. We said it before, he didn't want Sari Menu because Sari Menu was so beautiful. We said she didn't exactly have the body of a regular woman. But what she saw was the potential. What Avimelech and Paro saw was there's potential here. They thought it was a 7-year-old who's going to grow up to be a tremendously beautiful person. Same type of idea. Not literally physical. There's something inside that they're seeing that makes them drawn to that person that wants to bring them on. Remember, by the way, Avimelech and Paro are not normal people. They are kings, and kings have tremendously kadosh. They have kedusha inside them as well. They have the kedusha of the entire nation there. Those are the two great boards. I love those two boards. Now, let's go into... She died in Kiryat Arba, or Chevron, right? We don't know exactly, but Thomas Sora, but Kiryat Arba, he Chevron. Now, anybody's been to Kiryat Arba, it's not exactly Chevron. Chevron is not exactly Kiryat Arba, but somehow there is a connection between Kiryat Arba and Chevron. Baritz Kanan and the land of Kanan. The Avo Avram, Lispod Lusara, Avram came to give a eulogy for Sara, the Livkosan, to cry for. Okay. Avram was in Be'er Sheva. He came, Rashi says, from Be'er Sheva. What was he doing in Be'er Sheva, and what was Sara doing in Chevron? Were they separated? Chas v'shalom, right? So what happened over here? So the Rabban gives two easy answers. The first easy answer is, well, Avram Avinu wanted to go to the Eshel to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Akedah and say thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that happened. So he went straight to the Eshel at Be'er Sheva. When he was at Be'er Sheva, he was told Sari Menu died in Chevron. So he had to come from Be'er Sheva to Chevron. That's the first answer. Second answer is, this is a couple years after the Akedah. We don't know exactly when, but Sari Menu did not die at the Akedah. She died a couple years later. That's another answer that's given by the Rabban. The Rabban says those two answers. But the Al-Guveni says, yeah?
What about Tara? Tarach died
2 years before Sarah died. That's true, but that has nothing to do with this. Tarach died 2 years before all of this happened, before the Akedah happened. Yeah.
It says that he came straight from Tarach's funeral to her funeral.
Offhand, I don't remember. I'd have to look that up. I do remember what you're talking about. I don't remember if it's said directly or if it's indirectly. Either way, the Al-Gurubedi says she didn't believe the Sultan. The Sultan came up to her and she said, everybody knows this story, right? The Sultan came up to her and said, your husband is sacrificing your kid. She's like, I don't believe you. He said, I'm telling you, here's a picture. And he gave her like a little picture of everything. And she's like, no, I'm telling you, it's not true or whatever it is. And everything happened, right? She didn't believe him, according to the Al-Gurubedi. So she went to Hebron from Be'er Sheva. She walked to Hebron to go to Sheshai, Achiman, and Talmai, the three huge giants that lived in Kiryat Arba, three of the four giants that lived in Kiryat Arba, and she asked them to tell him, what do you guys see up there? Sheshai, Achiman, and Talmai looked up and said, we see an old man that's sacrificing a kid on top of Yerushalayim, on top of Har HaBayis, and she immediately passed away, according to the Al-Gurubedi. She came from Be'er Sheva. So that's why Avraham, after the whole thing was over, went to Be'er Sheva, because that's where they were living. But what happened was she died in Hebron. Avraham Avinu knew she died in Hebron. What?
She went to see the giants in Hebron?
She went to go see those giants in Hebron in order to get it happen. So she knew that they were there. They were huge, absolutely huge. Some say that they lived past the first base of Mikdash. They lived into the times of the first base of Mikdash. There's a lot of stuff about these huge giants, about Sheshai, Achiman, and Talmai. Arba, we know, stands for the four people that were buried inside the cave, right? The four pairs, actually, the four zugos, or for the four giants that were there, right? The four giants that were there. Now, that's for sure. Hebron is the chibur between those two. The four giants and the four zugos that were inside that cave. The four giants and the four zugos that were inside that cave. We know that Hebron is the Pesach to Gan Eden. Now, Maaretz Machpelah is supposed to be the place where all neshamas go to after you die. And all your neshamas are supposed to go up to Shemayim, right by Hebron. So, if somebody happens to pass away, and you're not so sure where to go, go to Hebron. Look for the signs that are pointed to Hebron this way. You want to go to there. You want to try to get around there because that's the place where all they go up to Shemayim. What's in Shemayim? The Kisei HaKavod. What's around the Kisei HaKavod? The Dalet Chayos HaKodesh. We know Michal, Gabriel, Raphael, and Uriel that we spoke about last week. The Kiryat Arba is not just the Arba that are buried inside there and the Arba for the giants. It's also the Arba that are surrounding the Kisei HaKavod. The four sides of the Kisei HaKavod. Those four sides of the Kisei HaKavod itself. The Maskil David says the connection is that a place that is very holy in Kedusha also has a tremendous power in Tuma. That's why these giants were formed in that place. Because it was so high in Kedusha, physically, the land gave out a tremendous amount of physicality, and it attracts greatness in Tuma, and that's why those four giants were able to live there. Arba stands for, if you would put it, you know, in Notrikon, in abbreviated form, stands for Igra Rama Bira Amikta. It stands for a very high up roof, a very deep down pit. Igra Rama Bira Amikta. That's what Arba stands for. What it's supposed to refer to is something that we spoke about not too long ago in the Yeshiva program, and we said that there's Shemot Esrei and then there's Tachna. That you daven Shemot Esrei straight up, and then you fall down for Tachna. From the Igra Rama, from the highest heights, you go all the way down to Tachna. When there's an opening to Gan Eden, there's also an opening to Gehenna. It's going to be connected one another. So just like there's an opening to Gan Eden, there's also going to be that little thing that's going to be for Gehenna. The Kedusha of the place had to be kept secret, so that nobody knew that there was an opening to Gan Eden or an opening to Gehenna there, because you never know. If a guy tries to find his way in, somebody could push his way through and get into the Pesach of Gehenna instead of the Pesach of Gan Eden. Chase was the only one who ever knew that Adam and Chava were buried there. He told no one. And Malachi Mashka stayed inside there making sure that no one would come anywhere near. And that's the pshat behind the Medrash that says Ephraim ben Sochar. Sochar is the Lashon of Rotzeach. Tzadi Vav Ches Reish is also Rotzeach, because every time Ephraim tried to enter the cave, a murderer came with a massive sword and chased him away. That murderer was a shade that stood there trying to chase away anybody who didn't deserve to be buried inside that cave. We know that when Abravino was trying to serve the Malachim, Raphael turned himself into a cow. Okay, maybe not everybody knows that, but Raphael turned himself into a cow, stood there and ran away, said Avram Avinu would go run after him to be able to go catch him, to give his tongue over to the Malachim, and Raphael led him all the way to Hebron, to the entrance of Maaretz Machpelah. He went in front of Maaretz Machpelah and smelled the smell of Gan Eden and realized that's the cave that I need to bury everybody in. I gotta check out this cave later on. What?
Avram could run?
How do you know?
It's a pretty long way, no?
It's from Be'er Sheva. So, that must have been. It's a good call. No, maybe it was in Hebron. Maybe they were in Kiryat Arba at the time. Oh, they were by Elune Mamre. They were in Elune Mamre. Elune Mamre is also around the same area. Let's just say, yeah, I mean, he just had a bris 3 days ago. I wouldn't think the running was like the easiest running in the world. Like, ah, God. Like, I don't know. What?
Rafal didn't heal him yet.
Oh, Rafal might have healed him already. He healed him and then had him run? That's got to be a problem somewhere around there. Yeah, I guess there's going to be something around. Either way, that's the whole shot behind the Rotaf. Only those who die Beneshika with the kiss of death, so to speak, although not the same thing that Sonya used to do on Mortal Kombat. It's a different type of kiss of death. You guys might remember, you know, whatever, but it's a different type of kiss of death. It's the kiss of death that given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only them can be buried in the Ma'ara. Nobody else can be buried inside the cave. How'd Avram know that about Sarah? How'd Avram wasn't there when Sarah died. How do you know that it wasn't the Malach Mavis that killed Sarah? How do you know that about any person? Unbelievable. Tiferes Yonis and Yonis and Ivshitz quotes down a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that Chafam and Beis. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Chafam and Beis says that when a person dies, the Malach Mavis appears right above his head, carrying his sword. On the sword is a little tiny tip of poison. And when the person sees the Malach Mavis and opens up his mouth to scream, immediately the Malach Mavis flips down that little thing of poison, goes inside that guy's mouth, and immediately the person dies, says the Gemara, that's why people have poneha morikos. Their faces turn green and white and they change colors after death because the Malach Mavis went ahead and did it to them. All Avraham Avinu had to do is look at Sarah Yemenu's face, and as soon as he saw Sarah Yemenu's face, he'd realize it's not poneha morikos. If it's not poneha morikos, it must be that the Malach Mavis didn't kill this person. It didn't kill Sarah Yemenu. Says it's Pharisee Yonasan, that's the shot behind it, and that's why it says, Vayokam Avram Me'al Pnei Meso. Avram got up from the face of his dead one. And then he said, Vaydabro Bnei Cheslo, where he realized he had to speak to them to get Maros Machpelah. He wasn't sure yet if she'd be able to be buried in Maros Machpelah. Maybe, just maybe, Hagar is supposed to be buried there. Obviously, it's not the real Chash, but he said, maybe Hagar is supposed to be buried there. To that he looked, was it the Malach Mavis? He saw it wasn't, and he realized it was she died through the Shika. Thus, Tomas Sarah, that it says, I'm sorry, where is the wording? The wording that I had is Batomas Sarah. Tomas is the lettering of Tuf, Mem, Tuf. Tuf is Tuf Yud Vav. Mem is Mem Mem. Tuf is Tuf Yud Vav. Anybody want to say the Gematria really quickly? Come on, you can do it. Come on. 416 plus 416 is 932. Plus 80 is
1,018.
I got a problem over here. I quickly said 932, when really 416 plus 416 is 832. For those of you on tape who caught me, way to go. But 832, it's 832 altogether. 832 plus 80 is 912. 912 happens to be the exact same gematria as Beneshika Mesa. So all he had to do was look at the pasuk. He was fine. He knew that she died Beneshika. That's the other way. Look, I think the Rabbeinu Ephraim is the one that says that down.
Was
died Beneshika. Was dead Beneshika. Was died is now proper English as well. Anybody who caught me on tape on that one as well, way to go. All right.
Everyone who died Beneshika was buried in.
Right, that's true also, because it does say there's a Gemara Baba Basra on Yud-Zayin and Aleph that says who died Beneshika. It says Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. It doesn't mention any of the most, but they're obviously included as well. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Those are the six that are mentioned over there. Okay, let's go. Adam and Chava, obviously, also, but it doesn't mention people that are before. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why those people aren't included. All right, let's not go into that. Hashem Birach is Avram Akol. I'm not going to get into the old daughter thing. You guys want to know the old Kosa Borten Ulabita that his daughter died and everything like that? I'm not doing that this year. Hashem Birach is Avram Bakol. Bakol, some say he had a daughter. Right? So he's Makayim Puravu. I told this over to some people this morning. I think it's an absolutely unbelievable board. Later, Yitzchak goes over to a place called Be'er Lachai Roi. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Later on, Yitzchak Ba Mibo Be'er Lachai Roi in Pasuk Samach Beis. He goes to this place, Be'er Lachai Roi. What in the world is this place, Be'er Lachai Roi? What's he doing there? Don't worry, we're going to have an awesome answer for this later. The greatest board in the world. There's never been a greater board. That's going to be the later Von board. This board is just.
Except for every board next.
This one is the greatest board. This one is the greater board that I'm ever going to say in the entire world. Regardless, Be'er Lachai Roi versus Bakol, Yitzchak goes to Be'er Lachai Roi to go return Hagar. To go return Hagar over to to Avram Avinu. Why did he go now? Why are you going now? You couldn't find a better time? I'm sorry, Eliezer is coming back with Rivka. Now, Eliezer did not exactly expect for the Kvitz Zadarev to happen within a day. To walk out and be like, oh, I'm here. For that to happen, and then for him to walk back, come right back that night. For that to happen in 2 days, the worst time that you could possibly imagine to go out there would be to go get hunger now. Why would you bother getting hunger now? What was the point of doing that? It's such an unbelievable thing. The halacha is the following. Who Lisa u beno Lisa? If you have to get married and your son has to get married, who kodem? You come first. If you have to get married and your son has to get married, you come first. Says the Gemara, that's only if you weren't Mekayim Puravu yet. It's only if you weren't Mekayim Puravu. If you were Mekayim Puravu, then who comes first? Your son. So Avraminu had a daughter. Vashemirach is Avram Bakol. He had a daughter. Says Rav Olson, if he had a daughter, then I don't understand. Then who Lisa u beno Lisa? Beno kodem, right? So now, okay, now it makes sense. He sent out Eliezer. He had to go get his son married. Yitzchak didn't hold that way. Why didn't Yitzchak hold that way? Because we know that Avram is the midah of, and Yitzchak is the midah of Din Gevura, right? Hillel is the midah of Chesed. Shammai is the midah of Din. Says the Zohar, Hillel and Shammai are Gilgulim of Avraham and Yitzchak. Of Avram and Yitzchak. That's Hillel and Shammai. Listen to this machlokas. There's a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. In the Gemara and Yevamos, what is Puravu? Beis Hillel holds it's a son and a daughter. Beis Shammai holds it's two sons. According to Beis Shammai, Avraham Avinu is not Mekayim Puravu yet. Yitzchak held, Yishmael doesn't count at all. Yishmael was born before the Bris Milah. He's not a child that counts for Puravu. According to Yitzchak, according to Avraham Avinu, he was Mekayim Puravu. Who comes first? The son. But according to Yitzchak, Avram wasn't Mekayim Puravu yet. So who comes first? Avram. So what did Yitzchak go ahead and do? He ran to get Hagar. And they got married at the exact same time. Avram married Hagar when Yitzchak married Rivka. They got married at the exact same time in order to be Mekayim, Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel at the exact same time. So that everybody would be Mekayim and everything would be okay.
What?
Samach Beis.
When you
vomit. You vomit? No. No. Achluk Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. I don't know my notebook on me. The pays, I think. I don't know. Payal. But believe either, I'll try to check that up later on tonight and I'll call you. So that is that. But that's the machlokas between them. But why go there? Why go to Be'er Lacharoi? What's the big deal of Be'er Lacharoi? So I heard this word from an unbelievable Talmud Chacham named Yoni Berlin. There's a shul down in Ramat Eshkol, right below Rehov Paran. It looks like a bumblebee hive. There's a Sfaradi shul, there's a Sfarad shul, and on the bottom there was a place called B'nai Yeshivas. They moved out and then it became some other weird place. I don't know what it was. But this Sfarad shul, I used to daven there on Shabbos days because there was a guy who spoke, and then this guy didn't speak anymore. He wasn't the rabbi of the shul. They didn't have a rabbi because, strange story, the rabbi died, and then somebody else became a rabbi. He died a month later. They decided they don't want a rabbi anymore. Long story. Okay, whatever. It was a very ridiculous shul. But this guy, Yoni Berlin, is mamish a genius. Mamish a genius. He gets up there, and he says a great word every single week. So he said over a Ramban. The Ramban said he went to Be'er Lachairoi, that it was his makom tefillah because a malach appeared at that place. A malach appeared in Be'er Lachairoi to who? To Hagar. This is the first time Hagar ran away. Before Yishmael was born, the first time Hagar ran away, she just miscarried. She ran to Be'er Lachairoi, and that's where the malach appeared to her. And she called the place Be'er Lachairoi. So now Yitzchak ran there because it was a holy place because a malach appeared there. Why go there? Why not go to the Eishel of Avram Avinu? Go to the Eishel of Avram Avinu in Be'er Sheva because Malachim appeared there. Gabriel, Raphael, and Michal appeared there. And not only that, but that's a connection to Yitzchak. Because that's the place where Yitzchak was told, where they told Sarah that they were going to have a child. So why not go to the place of Be'er Sheva? Why would he go to Be'er Lacharoi over any other place in the world? Shot is like this. Chafei Yudalev. Later on in the Parsha, at the very end of the Parsha, V'yacharei Mos Avram, after Avram died, V'yavarach Elohim et Yitzchak beno, God bless Yitzchak his son, V'yeshev Yitzchak in Be'er Lacharoi. Not only did he daven there, he moved there. He moved away from Hebron. He moved away from Be'er Sheva. He moved away from all the holy places that Avram lived in, and he went to a place called Be'er Lachairoi. Why would he go there? I understand it's a malchum tefillah because of malchum. But this, the Ramban doesn't explain. Why would he move there after everything was said and done? Listen to this, Bort. Mamish, unbelievable. Every single time something crazy happens, that's when one of the others came up with the idea of tefillah. Vayashkem Avram Baboker is how we learn Shacharis. When did that happen? After stone was just destroyed. By Yaakov Avinu, he was leaving to go to Gullus to Lavan's house. By Yifka B'makom Ahu, and he davened in that place, and that's where he made up Marif. Right, that was in the Makom HaMikdash. By Yitzchak, it says, "Vayetzi Yitzchak Lasuach Basade." That's what he saw. We learned it in Mincha from right out over here. What happened over here? What Yitzchak was afraid of is that Yishmael had a taina in Eretz Yisrael. That taina was, a malach appeared to my mother in Be'er Lachairoi. That's a connection that Yishmaelim have a connection to Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak went there to be mevatel any taina Yishmael had to Eretz Yisrael. The one place that Yishmael said, I have a connection because a malach appeared to my mom in this place, that place that he went to, that place that was so holy, that Yitzchak wanted to be mevatel completely. So he went there to daven to destroy any claims that Yishmael might have in Eretz Yisrael, so that the land will truly be all of the Nei Yisrael's, Yitzchak's children's, and nothing to do with Yishmael. That's why he went there. Not only did he go there to daven, he lived there, so that Yishmael wouldn't be able to move there and say, now I want it because I just did tshuva. I did tshuva when Avraham Avinu died. I did tshuva. I deserve a part of Eretz Yisrael. Said Yitzchak, get the heck out of here, Yishmael. You have no claim to Eretz Yisrael. You have no claim to any part, even a city in Eretz Yisrael. The place where Amalek appeared, that was for the sake of my father. It wasn't for the sake of your mother, not for the sake of you. You have no claim to Eretz Yisrael whatsoever. No claim. That's what he was doing by going there. Unbelievable. That is, I think it was his chiddush. That is an absolute unbelievable board. A very, very, very strong board. Okay. The Malach. Okay, we're going to skip this for now. I'm going to have to skip the whole thing. I had a whole big thing about, everybody knows my kid's name is Chanoch Eliezer. So the connection between Chanoch and Eliezer and Metat and who the Malach was. I had a whole connection with that. Maybe that'll be for later. But you got to say this. V'yitzchak ba. Be'er Lachai Roi. What's this place Be'er Lachai Roi? Okay, fine. It was the place where Hagar went to. Where did Malachim come from? Such an unbelievable thing. What? We don't know. We have no idea. We have no idea. The Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Bachya, the Riva, the Miam Loes on page Tuf Kuf Vav, the Panach Raza, and the Yalkut Shimoni in Simon Kuf Tes all say the following. V'yitzchak ba. Me'ifo ba, where did he come from? Mi Gan Eden. Came from Gan Eden. It's a good place to go. I would like to go there. I would like to go there. What was he doing in Gan Eden? What was he doing in Gan Eden? And they say there's even a gematria. Mi Gan Eden is a gematria 217. Same gematria is V'yitzchak ba. Yitzchak ba is the same gematria as Mi Gan Eden. So that works out really well. So what's happening over here? Most of those Rishonim that I just brought up over there, most say it was because he had a chabura, or because he got blinded by the Malachim. So immediately after the Akedah, he was taken up to Shemayim, put in Gan Eden, and sat there to be healed for 2 or 3 years, to be healed by the Malachim in Gan Eden, until he came back in order to get married. And that's the pshat, but no, I would assume that's not leaving Eretz Yisrael. That's the pshat we have by Yeshev Avraham, that Avram returned to the Ne'arim after the Akedah was over. Not both of them, it just says Avram returned. The pshat is, according to Rashi, he went to the Yeshiva Shem Aver. This is a bit of a higher yeshiva. He went to a different place in which only Avram came back, but he himself went somewhere different. We learn from Shmuel. Anybody remember the Balas Ov? Shaul went to Yoav's, to Avner's mother, and Avner's mother was a Balas Ov, and she wanted Shmuel to appear, so she made Shmuel appear. According to Rashi, when people come back from the dead, they appear upside down. Their heads are toward the ground, and their feet are in the air. Ki'ilu, they're coming down from Shemayim. They come back down as if they're the opposite way. I assume it doesn't last that way. I assume eventually it turns around. I don't know what that point is. I've never seen it. But the fact is that Chazal say, and it's brought down by Rashi, that when you come back from the dead, you return upside down. Says the Moshe of Zakenim, that's what was happening over here with Rivka. She said, Mia ish halazeh, ha'olech basad elikoseinu. Who's that guy who's coming to greet us? Do you think Rivka was asking that about every guy? Who's that guy? And who's that guy? Like, of course she wasn't doing that. Mia ish halazeh, what she was asking was, what is going on with that guy, says the Moshe Zakenim? How was that? That's sort of upside down. Yitzchak was walking upside down in the field. He's walking like that, going down through the field, totally upside down, going through the field, and she's looking at it saying, what is going on with that guy? To which Eliezer said, that's my master. You'll get used to this after a while. you'll get that. But either way, but that's what happened. The Bartanura, Vanya Bartanura, has a Sefer on Chumash. Unbelievable. It's quoted out by the time you're talking. That's the shot behind the Tipo Me'al Agamol. She fell off the door. donkey. Not the donkey, I'm sorry. She fell off the camel. Says Rashi. It says...
Oh, yeah.
Very quickly, it says... hold on. She saw Yitzchak. Ra'asa oso hadur. She saw him and how majestic he was. The tohe. And she was wondering, mipana, from him. Says the Bartanura, hadur does not only mean majestic. Hadur also means turned around. Says the Bartanura, Rashi's telling you, she saw Yitzchak upside down. They told me, part of it, she got so shocked, she fell off her camel. Anybody ridden a camel before? It's a big drop. You don't drop off a camel for nothing. It's like 15 feet. 50 feet, according to the Medrash, she lost her besulin from that drop. That's how high of a drop it was. That she mamish bled from that drop. She lost her besulin, and later on, Eliezer was accused of doing something with the woman because she wasn't a besulin when Yitzchak was with her, and he was choshed b'chsherim, and Eliezer got to either become Ogmel Habashin or he lived forever because of that. That's another story. We'll get to that another time. But regardless, the whole thing is it's Hadur, that he was upside down. That's Hapshad. That's the trup by Haholech. Haholech, Basodeh, the one who's walking, the trup is a Mapach. Mapach is he's walking, Hipuch, the opposite way. He's walking the opposite way. That's my own little addition. That is a Mapach over there. The time in Agam page Shin Tes takes it a step further. Quoting a Medrash that says he was Mamish Shechted and became ashes, and then a Tchias Amesim from a Kaddish Baruch Hu at the Akedah. Mamish Shechted had total Tchias Amesim. That's why his bracha in Shmon Esrei, Avram's bracha is Magen Avram. Yaakov's bracha is Hakel HaKadosh. Yitzchak's bracha is Mechaye HaMesim, because he was the first person to have Tchias Amesim. And Ketz Chai, his name stands for Yitzchak is Ketz Chai, the end of life. That's what his name stands for. He's going to be the one who's going to end and then come back to life right afterward. But the pasuk says, "Al tishlach yodchal enar." Don't put your hand on the nar. Al taslam umah. Don't do anything to him. How do you understand that? Says the time of Menagim. The pshat behind that is a second time, because Avraham Avinu thought that the satan was trying to fool him, so he wanted to kill him a second time. To that, he's saying, "Don't do that whatsoever." That's Rashi and Bechukosai. Rashi and Bechukosai says, "Zochor es midas Yitzchak." He says, "The afer of Yitzchak, not the afer of the ayo of Yitzchak, the afer of Yitzchak itself." The Gemara in Tainus and Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph see Tosus over there says you need to put ashes on top of the mizbeach back to remind you of the afer of Yitzchak. Says Tosus, it must be human ashes to be like the ashes of Yitzchak. The ashes of Yitzchak. Unbelievable, right? Hold on, there's more. Zvachim, Samach Bezim and Aleph says, Shmuel saw a vision of Yitzchak's ashes on the mizbeach, not the aisle. Yitzchak's ashes on the mizbeach. Bracious Rabba, Sadi Dalid Siphei says, you saw ashes on the mizbeach. Rashi says, no, it's Ki'ilu. And the Yavit says, all these Tosim, it's not a Raya. All these mean it's the aisle of Yitzchak. But I found a Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer and Simon Lamed Aleph says that when the cherub went to his neck, the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer says, Porchon Nishmaso. All of a sudden, Nishama left his body. When Hashem called out, Al Tishlach Yod Chalanar, immediately Nishama went back to his body. That's what made the bracha of Mechaya Mason. The Shiboli Alekin and the Tani Rabasi bring down, straight down, there was a fire burning on the Mizbeach. While Avram was talking to Hashem, the fire burnt up Yitzchak, who was still alive and just at Chiyas Mason on the Mizbeach. That's when he had to go up to Shemayim. That's when he had to have Tchias Mason. Check out the Redal in that Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer in the middle of Perek Lamed Aleph. Most unbelievable thing in the world, he says, Mamish, that he figured out, and that's the reason why everybody says that Yitzchak really died, because of that Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer and Lamed Aleph. All right, we'll get to it a little bit more next year, guys. We'll stop having a